ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 40th shloka of Saundarya Lahari. With the next two shlokas, like if when we deal with 41st shloka tomorrow, with that the first part of Saundarya Lahari or Ananda Lahari gets completed. So before that, the previous shloka Shankara spoke about Tava Swadhisthane, Swadhisthana Chakram. So here he speaks about the next chakra, which is Manipurakam. Manipurakam has the Jala Tattvam associated with it. So here he speaks, Shankara speaks about Manipurakam, the characteristics of Devi in Manipurakam, Devi and Sadashiva in Manipurakam, that is being elaborated here. This shloka is set in the raga called Darbar. I am not aware of any songs in the particular raga, but it's a raga called Darbar. I don't know the itihim behind the name of the raga and any songs in it, but the raga is called Darbar. The shloka goes like this. Tatitvantam shaktya timira paripantis Furanaya Sfuranana Ratna Bharana Parinadendra Danusham Tavashyamam Megham Kamapi Manipuraika Charanam Nisheve Varshantam Haramihirataptam Tribhuvanam. So here Shankara is speaking about Manipurakam. So Tava, Tava, O Devi, Manipura Eka Sharanam. So the word in the book is Sharanam, but my father sings as Charanam. So I am not sure about which word. Charanam will not make sense there, but Sharanam may be making sense there. So Manipura Eka Sharanam. I take resort to your Manipura, Manipuraka, Manipura Chakram, or Manipurakam is also it's called. So Manipuram or Manipurakam. So this particular Adharam of the Shadadharam, Manipuram or Manipurakam, that alone I take resort to. And what is the speciality of this? Timira Paripantis Furanaya. So Timira, Timiram. Timiram means Andhakaram. So Timira Paripantis Furanaya. Sfuranaya. By Prakasham. So by Prakasham, darkness or the darkness or lack of light, the state of lack of light, that state, that is completely negated, completely removed. By whom? Shaktya, by Parashakti. So the Shakti aspect in this Manipurakam or this particular chakra. The chakram is Manipuram. Manipurakam means like in Manipuram. So Manipuram, Manipura chakra is being explained here. So Shaktya, by Parashakti, Timira Paripantis Furanaya, Shaktya Sfuranaya. By Shakti Sfuranam, Timiram is completely removed. So Shankara is speaking here about Manipuram, Manipura Chakram. So Shaktya, by Shakti, by Parashakti and her Sfuranam, Prakasham from Parashakti, that dispels darkness. And then Tatitvantam. So she is also like Tatitvantam. So she is like a a light or a stick of lightning. So it's like lightning. So she is bright, dispelling darkness, but it's not just bright, it's as if like lightning. Like lightning. So in many places we can see that tadityantam or similar way of explanation. So lightning means it is so bright. It's so bright like we cannot see one, we cannot see with our eyes, our naked eyes, we cannot perceive it with our naked eye. And to that, like it is completely destructive. It destroys everything that comes in its way. That means it helps in removal of the external impurities, external with respect to the Atman, internal with respect to the body. The impurities that are there inside us, it helps in removal. So that's also denoted by it. So that particular, like lightning, as if lightning. And then Sphuran Nana, Sphurat Nana Ratna Abharana Parinatta Indra Dhanusham. So Indra Dhanusham means it's like the bow of Indra, Dhanush of Indra, and which is endowed with Nana Ratna Abharanam, which has a lot of jewels carved in it. So as if that. So that means like this is also like a way of telling like Indra's bow, and his bow is considered to be lightning. So there are some other places where the reference comes in Puranas and all. So here it means it's like Indra's bow. So this lightning, streak of lightning which is there, and it's like Indra's bow endowed with various jewels. So that means like it's like lightning, but though it's lightning, there are bright spots in the lightning. So various ratnas are there in it. And then samayam, so samay, so sorry, yes. Shyamam. So the next word like that comes here is shyamam. So samayam is in the previous shloka. Shyamam is a shyama varnam, means black complexion. So shyamam means black, so it is black as well. So black here denotes that particular state wherein like we don't have any impurity associated with it. Though white is said to be the color which is very pure, but white denotes purity, yet white also can have impurity in it. So white is the color in which like impurity can very easily stick to it. But black is that color wherein like whatever you put to it, whatever you add to it, nothing will happen. So that is the color of black. So black denotes that state of state without impurity. So black, so very black. And then hara mihira taptam. So hara mihira taptam. So taptam means burning or fire. So fire coming out of Rudra. So hara mihiram from Rudra. That means during pralaya, as well as like when Rudra or Sadashiva opened his third eye to destroy Kamadeva. So that fire, so it denotes fire as well. So in Manipuram, all these are there. Oh, Manipuram has the Jala Tattvam. So all these speak about light, glowing and all. So where does water come in there? So all these are there. So the fire, black, lightning like and all. So all these, we can say all these like precede rain. So we know that rain is preceded generally by lightning and other, when it is fierce rain. Rain is like heavy rain or thunder, rain associated with thunderstorms and all. Then we can see lightning. So this like, and I missed one word. Haramihira taptam tribhuvanam. So the three worlds which is destroyed by Sadashiva, Sadashiva's fire. So all these like darkness, lightning, everything precedes rain. So that means rain quenches all these. So that rain is present in Manipuram. O Devi, in Manipuram, Varshantam. So Varshantam, Varshantam means like showering or raining. What? Kamapi Megham. So Kamapi Sam Megham. Megham means cloud. So Kamapi, generally Kam means, Kamapi means like some. Here Kamapi has to be interpreted in a different way as some special. So very special Megham. So this special Megham, Nisheve, I prostrate, I worship. So that means, oh Devi, how will I worship you in Manipuram? The Manipura Chakram, in Manipura Chakram, I worship you as present there, as light, not only as light, that light which destroys darkness, dispels darkness, or the darkness of ignorance is dispelled completely, but as a special cloud which cools, which rains and removes the fire that comes, like the fire from Sadashiva that burns up the entire world. So it's very similar to like the previous shlokas in which we have seen that we have like the Rudra, Sadashiva's fiery nature is there, Devi's cool nature is there. So it's a merge. So Swadhisthana Chakram denotes fire, Agni Tattvam, whereas Manipuram denotes water Tattvam. So both go together. When there is a perfect blend, there is both together, both are in equilibrium. And we can say that the fire from Sadashiva, it removes the negative qualities in our mind. So it's like lightning, it's black, and it removes the impurities of the mind. When impurities are removed, when impurities are completely removed, then it is cleansed by Devi's compassion. So that compassion, cleansing by Devi's compassion, can also be interpreted as Devi's glance of Devi. Glance of Devi means Sakshatkaram or realization of Devi. That means when Sadashiva's fire, O Devi, in Manipuram, like you are the cloud, or there is a special cloud in Manipuram which rains. But before that rain, Sadashiva as a, like a sun, like a fiery sun, he removes all impurities with your help. How with your help? Because you are present as lightning. You are present as the light. That light, Timira Paripantis Furanaya. That light or that glow from you which removes ignorance, which removes darkness, the darkness of ignorance completely. Once that is done, then you are the rain from the special cloud which you are, that cools me with bliss, with anandam, with sakshatkaram, with moksham. So that's in short what this shloka speaks about. So there may be shlokas in Saundarya Lahari which we cannot directly relate to Vedanta. So we have to interpret it properly, else we will not be able to gain much fruit out of it. If we just worship this particular shloka and say, oh Devi, you are there as a cloud. It's a poetic way. It's a beautiful analogy, examples, like metaphors is being used here. If we get deluded into those metaphors, if we get deluded into those examples, then we will not be able to gain the real goal out of Saundarya Lahari, the real goal out of being a Devi Bhakta, which is Anandam. So the Anandam or Moksha, we'll miss Moksha if we go behind just poetic usage or the words which are pleasing, which are really beautiful, or imagination. That's the reason why most of Krishna followers of Krishna or bhaktas of Krishna, they very rarely are able to go beyond the form. They'll not be able to transcend the form because it is so pleasing to the eye. So that which is so pleasing to the eye, will not be able to conquer it, will not be able to go beyond it. That which is really beautiful. So if we are in a place, in a particular, like we are in a big hall, All of a sudden, a beautiful woman comes into the hall. All our glances will go towards the person because that it is too pleasing to the eye. That which is very pleasing to the eye can be a danger because it will delude us. It will veil us from going beyond or transcending the form. So that is the problem, like majority of Krishna Bhakta. So if we say the Bhakti school, all of the Bhakti school, majority of the Bhakti school are Vaishnavites or people who follow Vishnu or Krishna. The Shaivites are there, but Shaivism is like almost like Advaita. It's not much different from Advaita because Shiva's form is not appealing. The form of Shiva is not supposed to be appealing because like whatever we can consider, whatever we can think as that which takes us away from a form, all those are present with Shiva. A snake, wearing deer skin, wearing very less clothes, basma. And then people around him, they wear like, even Shiva is also like in many places explained as wearing skull, like a garland of skulls of people. So all those, like, it means like immediately we'll be distracted, like we'll be distracted from the form, which means we will be able to concentrate initially on the form, but we will transcend the form very soon. So that is the essence, that is the advantage of worshipping forms, those forms which are not that appealing. That's the reason also why it is very essential for us to not concentrate on a form. When now we are worshipping a form, still always remembering to go beyond the form, remembering the goal to be Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So the Jagat or any form that we see is an illusion. What is real is formless Brahman alone. That is very essential for a sadhaka. The moment we forget it, the moment we stray away from this truth, that very moment we will enter into a world of delusion. World of delusion or world of Maya, or Maya itself. We will be in Maya. If we are in Maya, we will not be able to proceed at all, because Maya will ensure that we are always in the ocean of samsara. We are always immersed in the ocean of samsara. We are always deluded. We are always seeking things. We are always sorrowful. That is what will happen when if a person goes behind forms. So whenever we are worshipping a particular form, we should remember that the form is only an illusion, and we have to transcend the form. So whatever is the reality is behind forms. It's not the form. The form is not real. We have to go beyond the form. We have to transcend the form. We have to remember that formless is the real. The formless is real because it is that Brahman who pervades everywhere. It is that Devi, Nitya Jagat Adhishthana, that Devi who pervades everything, who is present everywhere. Udyat Bhanu Sahasraba. Those kind of explanations. Sahasra Shirsha Purushah. Sahasra Aksha Sahasrapat. All those explanations of 100 heads. 100 eyes, 100 hands, 100 legs, all those 100 or 1000 legs and all those are figurative way of telling that everything is pervaded by Devi. So that Devi who pervades everything cannot be limited to a form. So the form is only a means to the formless. The form is only a way of capturing the mind, temporarily holding the mind onto something when we are still focused on the formless. So if we forget the formless and just concentrate on the form, we'll end up nowhere, because we will be attached to the form. We'll be concentrating only on the form, forgetting that the formless alone can give us bliss. The form, any form cannot give us bliss because it is limited. It's going to be temporary. Even as our body is limited, our body has a period like within which it exists. Similar is the case with Vishnu or Krishna or Shiva or Devi. All those forms have their own limits. They may be existing for a longer period of time than our body, but still it is temporary. So that is what we have to always remember. So while learning any of the shloka of Saundar Lahari or any devotional work, or for that matter any Vedantic work, when we are learning, we should remember that there is a form God, there is a formless God. Form God is only an illusion. In the formless God is real. Then what is the purpose of the form God? The purpose of the form God is to temporarily distract or guide our mind from external sense objects onto the particular form. The mind is always extroverted in nature. It wants some form or the other. So instead of going behind worldly form, concentrate on the form of a God. Not just concentrate on a form of the God. It's not the beauty of the form that we have to concentrate, but it is the qualities of the form, the various qualities of the form, Shiva's, like the lotus in Shiva's hand, that has a meaning, that has a significance. It is the lotus, like it denotes the self. Come to the self. If we don't do it, then finally Vishnu will be made to kill our ego using his chakra. So that means each and every aspect of a Ishvara denotes something or the other. So Devi is lalatam, lalata ujjvalam, ujjvala lalatam. Her lalatam or mastakam, her forehead is like moon. It's like moon means, what does that mean? It means it is bright like the moon. The moment we see Devi's forehead, it has the power of lighting things. That means it has the power of lighting up our mind, dispelling darkness. So that is what is denoted there. Similarly, each and every aspect of Devi, each and every part or component of Devi's form has such an import to it. So if we don't understand that import, we have to try to find out what is the import and then try to apprehend it in the right way. Instead, if we just go with the form, then it is as good as any worldly form. Instead of taking birth in this loka, in Bhuloka, after getting attracted to a worldly form, we will go to Devi's loka, we will go to Vaikuntha, we will go to Gokula, we will go to Vrindavan. Instead of Bhuloka, it will be some other loka. Everything will be the same, exactly the same. As long as there is no knowledge, as long as a person is not aware of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, thereby knowing that formless God is real, because that alone is there, it can never be limited by a form. Any worship of Devi, worship of like any Saguna Ishvara, or worship of Mahatmas like Amma also will not take us to the goal. It will only delude us more and more. That's the reason why people go to Amma, still they'll have all problems in life. After going to Chinmaya Mission and attending Vedanta course, still we'll have miseries in life because of something or the other. This is not there, that is not there. This is there for them, therefore the Paramartha is great, Tejomayananda is not great. Why? I have to propound, I have to like popularize Tejomayananda, let me do that. And all those ways of thought, all those thoughts will come into our mind, it will lead us nowhere. So whenever we are worshipping Devi, whenever we are learning or remembering any of the shloka of Saundar Lahari, we should remember that the goal behind all this is to concentrate on a form temporarily, fix the mind onto a form, remembering that the goal is formless Ishvara, goal is Jnanam. So that Jnanam which can dispel darkness, that Jnanam which is bright as lightning, that Jnanam which finally ends up like a rain, it cools us with the breeze of Anandam, which gives us Anandam, which is the real rain or Varsha. Varsha means like the showering of Anandam, that is the goal of this particular shloka. So if we are able to remember Devi as Nirguna Brahman while concentrating on the form as well, then we will be able to get Anandam, which is the purpose of life. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day. Hari Om.